Hello and welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You can't beat the scran doing it, Marcos. And with me as usual is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome.
Hello.
Right, this week we've got no game to look back on, so we'll have a quick sift through the Scottish Cup ties. We'll have one last look at the Rory McAllister story, and we'll potential replacements for the captain's armband. And finally, we'll look at the home game to Dumbarton. So, Martin, this week, I think we're maybe going to try to be a bit more positive this week. I think last week we felt a bit doing the dumps, a bit gloomy.
Yeah.
We should be positive. You should be more positive. Obviously, you're on a week's holiday, so you should be the most positive. Positive. That's what we're looking for. We should say as well, last week's episode, we got record numbers. I would like to think it was everything to do with us. However, I do think it's to do with a wee shout-out we got from Talking Lower League podcast and the guys from there. So thanks to them for the mention. And the numbers have increased quite a bit. So thanks to them again for that, and long may new listeners continue to listen on, and hopefully we continue to get the numbers growing. So, Scottish Cup last weekend, a few League One teams in it. Any results that sort of jumped out at you?
Well, I predicted that there might be a shock at Tynecastle.
There was, yes.
Hearts winning, is that maybe where you're going to go?
Hearts won and scored 5 goals.
Maybe not a surprise in the end that Hearts won, but maybe by the marginal result, 5-0, it's quite impressive. I don't think Airdrie, even their manager said afterwards, he didn't think it was a 5-0 game. But on a positive note for the League One teams, I think Falkirk getting a draw, you know, going to a replay against Arbroath. I think that's a good result for them because they can get Hearts in the next round, so there is definitely a potential for them.
I think they'll probably fancy their chances at home to Arbroath as well, even though Arbroath are a league higher. I think they'll definitely fancy their chances. And to be honest with you, I think they'd probably fancy their chances against the Hearts at home as well in the next round. So, as we said in the last couple of weeks, the guys at Falkirk have done a great job since taking over there as well. So, other results as well. Obviously, Clyde are through. They got another great tie there at home to Celtic in the next round. Stranraer, I guess the result didn't really matter for them as such, playing at Ibrox.
No, they gave a very good account of themselves by all accounts. I didn't see the game personally, but the reports I seen on the Saturday morning was that Stranraer gave a good account.
I think the penalty just before half time, I think, kind of killed them a little bit. I think if they're going in 0-0, they might have they fancied it a wee bit, but the goal just before half time didn't really help. Wraith are probably slightly disappointing. 3-1 loss to Livingston.
Yeah.
Again, you might think, well, Livingston Premiership team, but again, Wraith probably would have.
They'd have fancied their chances. Aye. I felt there was a lot of pressure on Livy because their season hasn't been as well as how they started last season. Mm-hmm. You know, they finished the Premier League last season on a bit of a downward spiral, so they'll be delighted to get through, but from a Wraith point of view, they'll maybe be slightly disappointed on the back of that result.
And we're opponents on Saturday, then Barton 1-0 against Aberdeen. I don't think 1-0 really sums up the story of the game as such. If you look at the stats, like Aberdeen had 25 or 24 shots,
but only
4 on target.
The result afterwards, like you said, you looked at his stats and it looked like Aberdeen did dominate the game, but credit to Dumbarton, they've obviously been you know, they've had a structure to their team and they've kept Aberdeen at bay for, I think it was up to the 85th minute when Cosgrove scored
a penalty as well.
So Dumbarton showed they've got the defensive qualities they needed there.
So and again, the money they've probably made off of that game alone, that will go a long way for them. But I guess the team we should be all looking out for is BSC Glasgow. They've got a fantastic tie in the next round at home to either Dundee United or Hibs. But again, the money they'll make off of that is going to be ridiculous.
And I'm sure they're not worried who they're going to be playing the next round, to be honest. They'll be delighted just to be in the hut for the draw.
And I guess Dundee United and Hibs would probably both be, I wouldn't say worried, but it is a potential banana skin for them. Last 16 in the cup, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But for me, result of the round, I think, was Ayr winning 1-0 at Ross against Ross County. I know Ross County probably aren't at the best at the moment, but you know, and Ayr struggling a little bit as well, but I think 1-0 for them was my result of the round anyway. Yourself?
Result of the round, probably Clyde actually, getting through against Bonnyrigg, as much as I'm not a fan of Clyde, as we all know in previous episodes, but that was a potential banana skin as well. Yeah. And they've also gone down there and gotten the result, so yeah, for them, I would probably say that's highlight of the round.
A bit of news for them as well was was David Goodwillie signing his new contract, which kind of put to bed any potential rumours of him going to, it would appear, every team in the lower league. So I don't think he was ever going to be leaving anywhere, but he's staying at Clyde, so a happy day for them over the weekend. So that's the Scottish Cup. The draw has been made, a few potential good ties. In the next round, as we mentioned, Glasgow against Dundee United or Hibs, Falkirk or Arbroath against Hearts, Clyde is obviously playing Celtic. Another couple of ones that maybe jump out is again Aberdeen Kilmarnock, third and fourth last season. Could be a good tie that one in the next round. Again, if Aberdeen do what they did for the last round with the red shed.
Yeah, I think it was a theme that they were looking to continue, especially for the Cup rounds at this moment in time.
And again, Ayr might fancy their chances as well. They're at home to St Johnstone. St Johnstone's struggling a little bit.
Ayr will really fancy that. Obviously, as you said, it was your match of the round, and they got through against Ross County, so I think they'll fancy that against St Johnstone, because, as you said, they're struggling.
So we'll wait and see what happens in the next round. Again, obviously, we'd prefer Peterhead to be there as well, but... We'll see what happens. Right. The big news from last week. We've had a week to digest. We've had a week to kind of get over the big story. Roy McArthur left. At the time of recording last week, it was he'd put in a transfer request by Thursday morning.
Yeah.
He's virtually completed his move to Cove. So you've had a week to kind of digest, think about it, initial thoughts of how it came about and how it progressed.
It came about very, very quickly. The first that we believe that Rory was made aware of was a Saturday morning, and then he spoke to the club on Monday morning, and he made Jim and the board aware of the potential news for them. And then, as you said, by the Thursday, it was all done and dusted. Very quickly, disappointed that he's left. I still feel that he had something to offer us. Again, this season he hasn't exactly been setting the head of light with his injury, he's been carrying lack of goals. But I feel there's still a player there, so I'm disappointed that he's left.
I think it, not only could he offer something on the pitch, I think after he's finished his career and sort of gone into the coaching side, maybe.
Yeah.
Same as what David McCracken had done. Get into like a player coach kind of role, step back, and then, you know, develop one of there. Obviously, he was always going to, it always looked like he was going to finish his career at Peterhead. He had offers from other teams down the years. He'd obviously always wanted to stay. This did really come out of the blue, and it probably acts a little bit more, given that we're halfway through the season, he's got a year and a half left in his contract. He probably could have just stayed on if he really wanted to, and that's probably what kind of annoys me more than anything else about it.
Yeah, I think the comments are a little bit of me. He mentioned it, he felt, into quote, it was the right time to go.
Mm.
I'll personally disagree with it. I think if he'd stuck it out this season till the end, especially, and then seeing what the summer could have held, he probably is not really that bothered. He's left Peterhead in the lurch a wee bit with the striking options. He's moved on, and as a club, we'll need to do the same, but it does sort of arc sticks in the throat a little bit.
I mean, you invest 8.5 years in a player, and as I said, he had chances to leave before. He'd always wanted to stay, so you always thought he was really loyal to the club, and I'm sure he is to a point. I know it's football, players come and go and things like that, but it's very rare in this day and age that you get a player who will stay for as long.
Yeah.
And even after he's had offers. It's just so annoying that he wants to do that. Things have also been said on both sides that we want to try and get through a bit as well. We'll start with Paul Hartley, the manager. He'd said in his press conference that he tried to sign McAllister a couple of occasions when he was at Dundee. We said this and we're on our social media that this is just a complete fabrication of the truth. It's a dangerous thing for him to say, because if that's one of the things he said to Rory in his negotiations, or if he said to one of his players to say to Rory, Rory's going to start thinking, well, hold on a minute, why did I make in about this?
Yeah.
But on the flip side, he knew about the interest from Aberdeen, he knew the interest from Dundee United, he was allowed to go and speak to Dundee United. So what's the difference here? Why was he not allowed to talk to Dundee? You've got to kind of take what he said with a pinch of salt. And from Rory's kind of standpoint as well, he's got to think, well, if he's saying that, but I was allowed to talk to Dundee United, why weren't I allowed to talk to Dundee?
I think the fact that they've made him aware of interest from Aberdeen and Dundee United on previous occasions, you would question, well, why would they allegedly hold back this, you know, the move at Dundee? So, like you said, a fabrication of the truth from Paul Hartley.
I'm quite sure it's not the first time that Paul said something that's a complete fabrication of the truth, but it is one of those things that you just think, well, that's just just nonsense at all. You mentioned it as well, Rory said that he was unhappy for the last 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Strange thing to say in a news conference or a press conference, to say that he was unhappy for the last 6 to 8 weeks. There was no signs of that.
It almost feels like a little bit of a dig as well.
Aye.
That's what came across to me when I first heard the interview. You know, he signed for his new club, and then there's just that comment. He felt it was the right time to go because he'd made the manager aware he'd been unhappy for the last couple of weeks.
So,
yeah.
So why do you think he was unhappy then? Because as we said last week, it wasn't as though he was sitting on the bench all the time. He's got 18 starts this season. He has obviously hadn't been scoring goals. Maybe a clash with the tactics, whatever.
Well, like you said, we've had a week to now try and digest it. I can only think, going with that comment and having a few days to think, is he's frustrated with his own performance. He knows he's a good player and he knows he can score goals. So is that a case of he's frustrated with his own performance that he's not getting the goals? Mm-hmm. As you just said earlier, he's been given game time. It's not like he's sitting on the bench. He's getting 60, 70 minutes per game when he is playing. And I generally think he's maybe frustrated with his own performance and he's now felt that it's the right time to go to try something different for him, but that's why I feel he made that comment. He's frustrated with his own game.
Aye, let's be honest. He has, for the majority of his career, been playing below his level. I mean, we've been really lucky to have him. We've been really lucky to have him in League Two, because he could have quite have easily played at a higher level. He could have easily played at Championship level when Dundee United obviously came calling when they got relegated to the Championship. He could have easily played there. Whether or not he could have progressed and played in the Premier League, you know, if say let's say he had gone to Dundee United and he got them up straight away, would he have been able to develop even further? Who knows? That's all kind of hearsay and whatnot. But we've been really lucky to have him. It just seems a strange time for him to say he wants a new challenge.
Yeah.
And then drop down the league again.
It like you said, it's come about very quick. He was made aware of it on the Saturday. He let the manager know on the Monday, and by the Thursday it's all done. It seems to be done very, very quick.
Again, he said as well that he only knew of the interest on Saturday before the game against Falkirk. Without saying anything derogatory or whatever, but I find that hard to believe that he didn't know about any interest prior to that, to then go 2 days later to hand in a transfer request.
I would put money on that he's been made aware of it well before Saturday.
Yeah.
Whether he was made officially aware
is
a different matter, but I'd suspect he'd been made aware of it before.
I mean what constitutes his interest?
Well, exactly. That's all for debate as well.
Yeah, because we're all interested in other aspects of things, but a concrete offer from a club, is that an interest? Or is somebody saying to you, can you come
in
here?
He put in the transfer request to now I could be wrong, correct me if I am, but did he not put in the transfer to initiate Cove to make an offer to Peterhead?
Yes. That's so, what we understand, yeah.
You know, that's a bit weird in itself. You'd have failed if Cove were adamant that they wanted Rory McAllister, that a bid would have come in first.
Yeah.
Normally a transfer request you would think would come in if Club A's made an offer for Club B's player and it's been rejected and the yes. player's trying to force a move through. Yes. It seems a wee bit backwards in this situation yeah. as well.
He's obviously, somebody's obviously said something to him whenever it was, and he's going, well, I'll put a transfer request in. And
try to force the move a little, yeah.
Aye. But from Peter Hayes' standpoint, they got a high five-figure fee. Let's be honest, for a player who's only scored 4 goals this season and has been carrying injuries for the last year and a half, they're coming out in roses, but they've got a good deal with it.
Yeah, they've got to look at the bigger picture when it obviously the transfer requests come in. They've got to look at the club's best interest, and if we're able to get money for a player, as you said, who's 32, who's got an injury for the last year and only scored 4 goals, then you'd say that Peter Hayes come out reasonably well out of it.
Yeah, and what role is going to give up now that he has left is the money that he's going to earn from his, what I would imagine he would be getting a testimonial at the end of his contract in a year and a half's time. And a testimonial season for a player like that could, again, get a high five-figure sum over the course of that year for various fundraising and things like that. And a potential glamour game friendly as well. So he's given up all that for, yes, okay, he's probably going down, he's going to double his wages, he's going to earn them. I mean, he must be on a phenomenal, I say phenomenal, it'd be phenomenal compared to League 2
wages. Yeah, the size of their budget at Cove, he'd be on a handsome figure, you would suspect.
Well, the finances they've got, they're operating at a championship level.
Yeah.
And if and when, which is probably more likely to be when they get promoted this season, the likelihood is they're going to go full time, and that's the level they're at. So they're at a level that Peterhead cannot compete at the moment. So for next season, obviously, hopefully we're both in the same league, i.e. we're both in League One. Peterhead and Cove aren't going to compete against or compete for the same player signatures.
Yeah.
Because what they're going to do is when they get promoted to League One, they're going to be signing championship players. Full-time championship players to come down, drop down a level, get a wage, get them promoted straight away again.
We're
obviously nowhere near that. So from that kind of standpoint, we're miles apart. But again, just from what he's now going to be earning for the next 3.5 years.
Yeah, that was interesting as well. I think we both spoke last week. We'd be surprised if it was over 18 months.
Yes,
And then he got a three and a half year deal.
We're very surprised. 3.5 years for a 32-year-old.
Because I'll say it now. If Cove got this season and they go up next season, I do not think that at the age of 34 that Rory McAllister would be a player that they would have in their starting 11 in the Championship.
No.
So again, for him to give up the testimonial, the money that he could have earned from Peterhead, it all just seemed very surprising.
I'd be surprised if he's even in his squad in the Championship at 34, because as I said, if they're going to be signing Championship players or Championship level players in League 1, they're going to try and get Premier League level players
in the Championship. Yeah.
And they've got the clout to do that. Obviously, once they get to the Championship, to get promoted from the Championship can be extremely difficult. As we've seen, Dundee United have been struggling for the last about 4 or 5 years now to get out of there. Hearts and Hibs even struggled to get out of there as well. So it will be much more difficult for them. We've got a potential another Gretna situation on our hands here with the money that they're throwing about. But, you know, I guess we have to kind of just look back, and it's difficult to say at the moment, but we're going to have to look back and say, well, he has been a fantastic servant for us, the goals and everything he's done.
Absolutely.
But it's a little bit more at the moment, it does kind of, it's a bit raw, the emotions. You probably will get over it at some point, but I think it's just the whole manner of how it's been handled. If it had been a case that Cove come in, Peter had accepted an offer. He reluctantly said, okay, I'll go and talk to them. And that was it. It was just the fact that he put in a transfer request.
Yeah.
He wanted to leave.
Before the bid came
yes.
in.
Yes,
that's the thing that doesn't sit well.
That's the thing that really doesn't sit well. It's just a bit... right, okay. But, you know, we have to move on. Players, as I said, players come and go. And by next season, it'll all be forgotten.
Yeah, exactly.
If he ends up... Well, if he comes back next season and scores... But I wonder what kind of reception he's actually going to get.
I think on the whole, he would probably get a good reception. But if he scores, that reception will change.
I don't think we're split 50-50 in terms of, like, some of us are going to absolutely give him pelters, and our folk are going to start applauding every time he touches the ball or something like that. I think it'll be a respectful.
Yeah, because as you said, we've got to respect the service that he has given us in the last 8 years. So it's just a bit sour towards the end.
Yes, that's exactly it. One other player is on his way out as well, or has left, I should say. Last week, Mick Dunlop has gone. He's dropped in a couple of levels. He's gone as well. He's gone out on loan for the rest of the season. This one's pretty more straightforward. Mick's got a change of a job and can't commit to the training and the games up in Peterhead on Saturday anymore, which I guess is part-time football.
Yeah, this one makes a lot more sense.
Yes.
It's a change of job and work commitments have taken over. Rightly so, he can't make a training, he can't commit to the game, so this one just seems an absolute no-brainer.
The cynic in me, however... with conspiracy theorists coming up, given that his last game was against Falkirk and he really struggled, now that he's decided, maybe has he decided,
he's put in a loan request.
Yeah, he's put in a loan request to get you a dodge as quick as possible. I probably not, but I mean, if that's his last game for Peterhead, it's an unfortunate way to end. As I said, he's dropped down a couple of levels to where he's going now.
I can't remember off the top of my head. No.
Is
that a junior league
junior,
club?
The junior student at Ayr somewhere. So he's going there as well. For both Rory and Mick, particularly for Rory, because they've left at the time that they've left, Rory, as I said in particular, he's not going to get a chance to say his goodbyes.
Yeah.
And the fans aren't going to be able to say their goodbyes to him either. That's another thing. It's just a little bit.
Yeah,
it should have ended better.
If it happened at the end of the season, you can have the big farewell and the goodbyes.
Yes. As I said, it's all kind of just done that. As I said, Mick Dunlop ceased left to the end of the season alone. His contract's up at the end of the season. Well, the likelihood is he's probably played his last game for Peterhead as well. Which obviously means. Bit of transfer activity is probably needed. We understand that there will be at least two in before Saturday's game this week. One's well documented, I think, in Stephen Boyd coming in from East Fife. There is another winger, hopefully signing before Saturday's game as well, another youngster. So it's a move away from his normal signings, these veterans as such.
Yeah.
It's another couple of youngsters coming in.
Yeah, we've touched upon before the transfer policy. If I would never really sign a player with a longer term in mind, this maybe is, he's decided to try something new, and this could be the start of something.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, Stephen Boyd potentially coming in, looking at nowhere line yet, and obviously a winger as well. Hopefully they'll be concluded very shortly and get them in the squad for Saturday, because we're slightly light in numbers now as well with Mick Gowan and Rory.
Yeah, I think Stephen's probably one of those who just needs a run. He just needs a bit of luck with his career, because he's gone from Hamilton to East Fife.
He doesn't seem to have caught a break in the last year.
Aye, he just doesn't seem to be getting a game, so hopefully in the next 6 months he gets up with us. Obviously, the other gap as well is now the captain's armband. Rory now left. Mick as well, obviously, he, I think he was the vice captain unofficially or officially. So that's both of them have gone. There was a bit in the papers this week that Scott Brown is a surprise candidate from Jim to get it.
Yeah, when we spoke about it last week afterwards, I thought, so, you know, looking at potential captain, Scott, in no disrespect, he didn't actually cross my mind at the time. It wasn't somebody that actually did stand out. Obviously, we read it in the Evening Express of the night and thinking about it more, you know, he is a player that you say is certainly a candidate and in the running for it.
Yeah.
Whether he gets or not is a different thing. I don't know whether he would appoint somebody now or whether he might just leave it till the end of the season, maybe officially appoint someone then. But yeah, Scott was a surprising choice for me if he does get it.
Yeah. The obvious one would probably be Derek Lyle because he's had the captain's armband at stages this season already. Remember going to Rex Rovers recently, he scored, had an armband as well, so he'd be an obvious choice.
Yeah.
As well, any other candidates you think could be there?
The other two that I had in mind was Greg Fleming in goals, very experienced, can see the whole game from the goals, or Simon Ferry. We've spoken in the past about his leadership on the park. He's constantly talking to the players or screaming at them and telling them what they're doing right and doing wrong. I think he is got the potential to be captain material. Whether he would like it or Jim decides to give it to him is a different matter, but I think that two, well, that four players that we've all mentioned mm-hmm. are all in with a certain chance of getting it.
And you look at the squad as a whole, those are probably the four prime candidates because there's nobody else really you think could get. I mean, there are guys who maybe are future captains as such, but because it I mean, somebody like okay, Paddy Boyle's probably another experienced guy, but he doesn't seem to be captain material. He's a very consistent performer. You can't think you get with him, but he doesn't seem to be the most vocal of players. And it's maybe one of those situations where if you give him the captain's armband, he maybe feel the pressure too much.
Yeah, maybe a wee bit of Jason Brown as well. Yeah.
I think he's probably potential a captain for
not
the future.
Now,
yes.
But, you know, give it maybe 18 months, 2 years, he could be one that could step into that position. Mm-hmm. Again, whether the weight of the captain's armband would play on them. I think the guys that we've mentioned, Derek Lyle, Scott Brown, Greg Fleming, Simon Ferry, are all players that you feel, if they did take the captain's armband now, would have no problem in having that role.
Yeah, and I think, as I said, those are probably the four outstanding choices for the captaincy, and we wouldn't have a problem with any of the four taking it on, even short term or long term. So, as I say, we'll wait for see what Jim decides. He knows the players better than anybody else. So, as I say, we'll wait and see. Scott Brown obviously it seems to be the front runner, but you never know with Jim. He could throw us a.
He does like to put a curveball in.
He does like a curveball
time.
Now and again, so you never know. It might end up being Ben Armour being the captain. you never know with him. So that's choices for the captaincy. Whoever's going to be captain, obviously, will start on Saturday with our home game against Dumbarton. As I said earlier on, Dumbarton were in the cup action last week. Lost 1-0 to Aberdeen. We haven't fared too well against them this season, two losses so far.
No, performance-wise, we've been reasonably good. The first 45 minutes of it at Balmoor in August, September, we went 2-0 up and thought we were really good, and then mm-hmm. collapsed after conceding the first goal. And then in the second half, when we were down at Dumbarton in October, we got beat 1-0, but we battered them. We said that in the episode on the Tuesday afterwards. We did everything but score in that game. Mm-hmm. So performances have been there against Dumbarton. They just seem to have our number a wee bit. So hopefully that can change this weekend.
Yeah, and I think and we obviously didn't know it at the time, but the 3-2 loss at home at the beginning of the season has pretty much set the standard of how our season's gone.
Yeah.
Because we've been really good in parts, but we've been really poor in others.
Trying to get it over 90 minutes has been the thing that we haven't managed.
That game pretty much summed it up. You know, very, very good first half, very poor second half. Records in the league, pretty similar. We've both drawn four. They've won eight, whereas we've only won six, and they've lost 8, we've lost 11, and goal difference is virtually the same, so there's nothing in it, really.
There's not much between the two teams, but I think there is a slight gap opening up now between 6 and 7, is it 6 or 7 points?
So
it's a game you want to just pull away for that bottom 2, and you would think a home game against a team that's mid-table at the moment would be the perfect tonic.
Mm-hmm. And again, their last 6, they've won 3, drawn 1 and lost 2. We seem to say this every week, but it just that kind of results show that anybody can take points off of anybody.
It's such a competitive league, you'll get that throughout, that everybody will feel going to, no matter what game they're going to, maybe apart from away to Falkirk and Raith, that you feel you can go in and win it.
Yeah, and was it the BBC said it's the most competitive league in Britain?
Yeah, I'd seen that somewhere the other week online.
Always believe what the BBC says.
Well, no, that's true. But it was 11 points between the team in 7th and top of the table, or 14 or something. Yeah, there was a start somewhere.
Yeah, they said there were 4 or 5 still could get promoted, but I guess with as the season progresses, everything will sort itself out. But yeah, I think this is a start where we need to start winning games.
Yeah.
To get ourselves in a comfortable sort of position, and I think the home games are going to be the ones against sort of teams like Dumbarton is the ones we need to be winning.
Yeah, we had the double header with Falkirk, Raith, and then with this weekend just passed where we didn't have a game. We said that Falkirk and Raith winna dictate your season. But we're now going into a period of games where if you've got any ambition of staying in the league, we do need to start picking up points. It's not crisis time, far from it, but it's certainly games that we're going to have to try and get results from.
Yeah, and given that our next couple of games are against Montrose and Forfar obviously have been a key one in terms of the league position, but out of the rest of the season, we've only got 6 or 7 home games left. The majority of the games that we've got left are away from home.
Yeah.
So we need to start picking up points at home.
We've got that triple header where you've got Falkirk, Raith and Clyde. And again, when you take them in isolation, it's maybe games that you don't necessarily expect to pick up much points. So you're trying to get your points from elsewhere.
Yeah, that's it. So we need to, as I say, start winning home games. A point here and there might not cut it, but we need to start winning. So hopefully this is where it kicks in. And I'd be confident to say, yeah, we're going to win this one.
Are you going to give a prediction?
A bold prediction and say we're going to win 2-0.
2-0, I'll go 2-1. I fancy them to score, actually.
Fancy them to score. Yeah. I think that's probably a fair thing to say, considering the amount of goals that they've scored, but the amount of goals that we've conceded as well. So, pretty much sums that one up. So hopefully, we start off with a win and get the ball rolling for the second half of the season. But that'll do us it for another Blue Toon podcast. Thanks again to Martin for his views as usual. Our thanks go to our sponsor Marcos Chipper, and of course to you guys for listening as always. Thanks again, and we'll see you soon. Cheers.